All right. Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this conference and for everyone here and for the privilege we have of serving our Savior. And thank you that he's coming again soon and that we're all going to be with him for all eternity. Because of his grace and his name we pray. Amen. This is a class that we started a few years ago, and we did it because some people said, you know, this is my first time coming to GES, and you all say things that we don't know what you're talking about. And so this was after they had been through the whole conference. So Bob and the board thought that it would be good to have a basics of free grace theology, give you a history of GES and the free grace movement. And so that's what I'm doing. And I just want to make sure I got the time so I don't go over. Looking for a time here. I got it on my clock, but okay. Okay. So this is for you. It really is. I don't know how long to discuss this stuff. I want to leave plenty of time for questions if anybody has any. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you ask me questions. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you don't ask me questions. So we'll just see how it goes. Basics of free grace theology. Let me give you a word of caution before we get started. As I discuss different views, it's kind of like if somebody asks you, what do Baptists believe? You know, there's like a bazillion Baptists, right? You don't know. I'm going to talk about other views, but not everyone that belongs to these different groups will agree with everything that I say. You know, some people say, well, I don't believe that, even though I'm an Arminian, I don't believe that, or even though I'm a Calvinist, I don't believe that. But, and I'm not trying to misrepresent what they believe, but I think that what I'm going to say, the vast majority of the people in the different groups will say, yeah, that's what I believe. So, but you might meet someone and they'll say, well, no, I don't believe that. And that's fine, but I just want to get in the ballpark, and I think I'm fair. I'll put it that way. Okay. What is free grace theology? What are some of the tenets of free grace theology? It is that assurance is of the essence of saving faith. And what that means is that when at the moment somebody believes in Jesus Christ for eternal life, at that moment, they know they have it. Jesus says, I give you eternal life. If you believe that, then you know you have it because that's what he's promised you. That doesn't mean that a person who believes will later lose that assurance. In fact, that's probably pretty common. But at the moment of faith, we know we have eternal life because assurance of salvation, or the fact that I know I'm going to be in the kingdom forever, is not based upon anything I do. It's based upon his promise. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believes in me has eternal life. That's how I know I have it, because he promises me that. And therefore, since it's an eternal, saving faith means that I have eternal life that can never be lost. Baptist doctrine, once saved, always saved. That's free grace theology. Okay, and again, that's not saying that I can't lose that assurance. So that's not saying I can't have doubts about it later. But once I have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life, I'm going to be in his kingdom forever. Okay. Turning from sin, which is repentance, is not necessary. Now, a lot of people do. A lot of people will turn from their sins and then believe in Jesus for eternal life. It leads them to it. But the actual turning from sin is not a requirement. And this is important because a lot of times when you hear people present the gospel, when you hear evangelists of whatever stripe preach the gospel, they'll say you need to repent. You need to repent. Now, the problem is, they mean different things by that, but a lot of times what they mean is you need to turn from your sins, you need to feel sorry for your sins, you need to be willing to turn from your sins, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, whatever the case may be. But free grace theology says that that is not a requirement. And through the years, This is one thing that when I go different places and speak, this is one thing that people attack me on. They'll just say, oh, no, you've got to repent. You've got to turn from your sins in order to be saved. But free grace theology says you don't have to. What is faith? Faith is being convinced that something is true. A lot of times when you hear theologians talk about faith, they define faith as a very complicated issue, intellectual, emotional, and volitional. You have to make a decision. You have to, it's a three-step process. But free grace theology says no. Faith is simply being convinced that when Jesus says, I give you eternal life, I know that's true. I believe that's true. I'm convinced that it's true. Free grace theology also says that good works impact rewards and Christian growth and the avoidance of God's discipline. Good works have nothing to do with me being in the kingdom, entering the kingdom, receiving eternal life. You're going to see other groups require good works to one degree or another to enter into the kingdom. But free grace theology says, no, good works have nothing to do with it, but good works are important because it will determine our eternal rewards. It determines our Christian growth, our intimacy with Christ, if you will, and it also allows me to avoid the wrath of God that sin brings into my life, the negative consequences that sin brings in my life, or as it says on the slide here, God's discipline. If I am a child of God, He'll discipline me because of my sin. Number seven's a biggie. Other gospels are not saving messages. Okay, we're going to talk about these, Lordship, Salvation, Arminian, and Catholic Gospels. But let me make something very, very clear. That is not saying that there are not saved people within these groups. There are believers in these groups. There are believers in the Catholic Church. There's going to be Catholics that are going to be in the kingdom of God, for example. The difference is, the gospel that they preach is not a saving message. That's what we're saying. They're believers in it because they believe in spite of what these different groups believe. There are people in all these groups who believed the gospel of eternal life. For example, as a child, for example, they attend an Awana meeting when they're 10 or 12 or whatever, and they believe, and but they still belong, like, for example, in this case, I'm not picking on them, but the Catholic Church. My son-in-law's father is in his 90s, and he's a lifelong Catholic, and he tells me. He gets a GES magazine. He leads a Bible study, and it's all free grace. He goes, Ken, he goes, I've been a Catholic for 93 years. I'm not going to leave the church, but I know that everything they teach is garbage. You know, he goes, I know that I'm going to be in the kingdom. My church says that's not the case, but I know I am. And so, and I take him at his word. He's a believer, but well, that's another issue. But no, he's saved. I have no doubt about it. He writes me all the time with Bible questions, and he gets all of GES's books. And I'm like, why don't you leave? He goes, I just can't leave. I'm 93 years old. So there you go. So what are these different groups? Again, I want to be fair, and I don't think I'm misrepresenting anything. I'm not attacking anything. I'm just hopefully stating the facts. Arminian theology, they teach that eternal salvation can be lost. If you're an Arminian, that's what you believe. They will say you're saved by grace, but you can lose it. Okay? And in the past, and generally speaking, and even at this conference, free grace folks normally don't interact too much with Arminian theology. And you're going to see because of our history. Well, right here in the next one, free grace and Grace Evangelical Society arose not an answer to Arminian theology, but for example, at Dallas Seminary, for example, Arminian theology was not really an issue. Pretty much everyone said, yeah, we reject that. We know you can't lose your salvation. It arose more in response to lordship salvation claims. Lordship salvation folks say that in order to go to heaven or in order to go into the kingdom, you're saved by grace, but you have to make Jesus Lord of your life. And remember earlier I said free grace theology rejects that. I do not have to make Jesus Lord of my life in order to receive eternal life. I simply need to believe in him for what he promises me. And so... Yeah, there are some who will word it like that. They'll say you can't lose it, but you can give it back. And they'll say, well, like, for example, they will say, you cannot lose your salvation, but if you sin a lot, your heart will get hard and you'll give it back. Yes. Yes. You have to work to preserve it, or you'll give it back, or you'll lose it. And by the way, lordship salvation is very, very similar to that, because what they say is you got to persevere in good works, or you were never saved to begin with. So you got to have good works in both systems. Let me tell you all a story. I was listening to a famous lordship salvation guy a couple months ago. And he was in a thing like this, and they asked him a question. Someone said, well, are Arminians saved? If you believe in like, for example, if I preach the gospel to you and I say, okay, like Ken just said, you're saved by grace, but you got to do good works to keep it. And you believe that. Have you believed the saving message? GES would say no. Because you think, well, I got to do good works. You know, I don't know I have eternal life. I got to do good works. And so someone asked this lordship salvation guy, is that a saving message? And he said, yes. Now, he believes once saved, always saved. The Arminian says, no, you can lose your salvation. But you can see how very close they are together. Because both of them believe you got to do good works. One just says, well, if you don't do good works, you're never saved to begin with. That's the lordship guys. And the Arminian guy goes, well, no, if you don't do good works, you lose your salvation. So good works are necessary in either way. And the Arminians and the lordship salvation people, they say, look, we disagree on this, but your gospel's a saving gospel. This is where free grace stands apart. What we say is, no, that doesn't save anybody because you haven't believed the promise that Jesus gave you. If you believe, you got to keep doing good works in order to make it into the kingdom. And this is related to Calvinism, because Calvinism and lordship salvation are very clear. And GES rose to discuss these issues, lordship salvation and Calvinism, because Calvinism says, very, very much like lordship salvation people, if you do not persevere until the end of your works in good end of your life in good works, then you were never a believer. Now, they never define, well, how much do I have to persevere? You know, what if I mess up just a little bit? You know, they all say, well, you mess up a little bit, but you can't mess up too bad. And so, again, GES arose back in the 80s to address these issues, because in seminaries at DTS and stuff, there were professors who were teaching lordship salvation, and even today they do, and Calvinism. Okay. Lordship salvation, as I've already said, they agree with free grace theology that eternal salvation cannot be lost. But here's a big key. They do not believe assurance is of the essence of saving faith. In fact, a lordship salvation guy will say, it's good if you doubt, because it'll keep you on your toes, right? I don't want to be too arrogant. For me to say, for example, I know that I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. The Lordship Salvation guy and a Calvinist guy would say, you probably shouldn't say that because you don't know if you're going to persevere in good works. You don't know that. You don't know if you're a true believer. If you're a Calvinist, they'll say, you don't know if you're of the elect. You don't know if God chose you to go to heaven. So even if you say, well, I believe John 3:16, I believe that I have eternal life because Jesus promises me that. They go, no, no, no. You know, you can be fairly sure, but you can't be truly sure. True faith is manifested by good works. And so you need to continually examine yourself. Am I doing good works? If I'm not doing good works, then maybe I'm not saved. Or if I'm not doing enough good works, then maybe I'm not saved. And works, what good works do is it gives me a degree of assurance. So let's say I'm a person who studies my Bible and I pray and I give to the church and I evangelize and I go to Bible conferences. I can be about 90% sure that I'm have eternal life or that I'm a believer. But I never really know because in the final analysis, let's say I live to be, 20 more years. What am I going to be doing 10 years from now? I don't know that. Maybe I'll deny the faith. You know, maybe I'll hook up with a prostitute or, whatever, and which will indicate that I was never saved to begin with. And so Lordship's out. And again, this is what GES came into being to address. Because my guess is that probably most people in this room have been exposed to this kind of teaching in your churches. And that was our experiences as well. In order to be eternally saved, you got to repent, turn from your sins, and turn your life over to Christ. Hence the title, I need to make him Lord of my life. If I'm not willing to make Jesus Lord of my life, I'm an unbeliever. Am I willing to make Jesus Lord of my life? If I'm not willing to do that, then I'm not a believer. Okay. Army sent me to Southern Seminary before I went to teach ethics, as Ken was talking about there at the infantry school. And so I went to Southern Seminary, and you may have heard of him, Moeller. What's his first? Albert Moeller. Albert Moeller. He said, I heard he was talking about this. And like, for example, he said, here's just one example. He says, if a homosexual comes to your church and wants to be baptized, what do you do? He said, no, you got to wait a while to see if he's truly saved. And how would you know if he was truly saved? Well, if he gives up his homosexuality. And so you need to wait. And free grace would say, no, if he believes in Jesus Christ, he has eternal life. Whether he's a homosexual. And obviously, to me, I find it so hypocritical. What do you do about a 20-year-old heterosexual who wants to join your church? The odds are very high that he watches porn. So do you wait 2 years to see if he quits watching porn before you baptize him? But there you go. And as I mentioned, they would say, as I talked about, I'll just tell you, it was Paul Washer. I was listening to him. It doesn't matter if I give you his name. He's a lordship guy. He was asked if the Arminian gospel is a saving message, and he said yes. Yes, it is. So if you preach that you can lose your salvation, you can be saved by believing that. Another thing about free grace theology is that we emphasize eternal rewards. And we believe that there will be a difference among believers in the kingdom of God. Some believers will be greater than others. They'll have greater positions of responsibility. They'll be closer to Jesus, for example, as we've had in some of these sessions already. Lordship salvation people, Calvinist people, they don't believe that. Now, you might run into one that says, yeah, there'll be some rewards, but as a general rule, the vast majority of them are going to say that all believers are going to be equal in the kingdom of God. Now, why is that? Because all believers are godly. All believers do good works. All believers persevere in good works. So the idea of rewards, and my guess is that most of you all, including me, how long were we attending church before we ever heard about rewards in the kingdom of God? You know, we just had a session in here before this one, and some ladies were in here, and they go, I've never heard about rewards before. Why is that? Well, right here's the reason. If you're an Arminian and you've got to do good works in order to keep your salvation, and the only people who are going to be in the kingdom of God are people who do good works, well, then everyone's equal. Everyone's holy. Everyone is an overcomer, if you will. Free Graceology says, no, there are some believers who are carnal and disobedient. And that could be for a number of reasons. Maybe I've never been taught about rewards. Maybe I'm just a nasty person. You know, maybe that there's a lot of reasons why a believer can be carnal. I can be angry at God because of something that's happened in my life, for example. But lordships and salvation and Arminian people say that if you are a carnal believer, then you're not going to be in the kingdom of God. Lordship salvation says if you're a carnal believer, you were never saved to begin with. Arminian say if you're a carnal believer, you lose your salvation. That means that everyone who enters the kingdom is going to be faithful, enduring believers. There's not going to be any rewards. And I guarantee you, if you go around evangelical circles and if you talk about rewards, people are going to say you're crazy. Rewards don't exist. Okay, GES's early history. These were the things we discussed. I started going to GES conferences probably around 1990 in that ballpark, and these were the things we discussed: rewards and why lordship salvation and Calvinism was unbiblical, and we would talk about the 5 points of Calvinism. And there was great unity among all Free Grace folks, because this is what we are addressing. And we were addressing this because, like I said, for most of us, we were attending Bible colleges or churches where lordship salvation and Calvinism was being taught. And how did we respond to that? What was the biblical response to those kind of things? I was in seminary in the late 80s. And most of my professors were Calvinists or Lordship Salvation people. And I didn't even know it when I was listening to it. And then when I started going to GES, I started understanding the issues and said, oh, okay. And so GES arose to address these kind of things. But then about 20 years ago, there was a split. Now, let me just say, you're going to hear these terms, and you've probably already heard them here. And you might say, those aren't really good terms. And if you can think of a better term, that's great. But I'm going to explain these two terms and what they mean, just so you'll know what I'm talking about. About 20 years ago, the Free Grace community had a split, if you want to call it a split. And it was a split between focused and flexible Free Grace. Now, what does these terms mean? Let me explain them real quickly. You know, it might be better to go back to here. Everybody in the Free Grace community agrees, once saved, always saved. Can't lose it. And good works result in rewards. Okay? And so they agree with that. And generally, they say faith is being convinced that something is true. But there was a section within the Free Grace circles in GES who said that all of these things are secondary issues. In other words, they are flexible. Maybe you want to call it easygoing Free Grace or acceptable Free Grace, whatever term you want to use. There were people within the Free Grace community that said, if I preach a gospel like this, what if I say, in order to go to heaven, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized and do good works? GES would say, that's not a biblical gospel. If that's all you've ever believed, then you've never believed the gospel. You haven't believed in Jesus for eternal life. The flexible free grace people would say, yeah, that's not a biblical gospel, but those people are still saved. Okay, that's what they mean. They're flexible. They say, oh no, we agree with you that eternal life can't be lost, but if you've never believed that, you just need to grow. It's a sanctification issue. And so, therefore, for example, if I'm on a mission field, I do mission trips. If I'm with a group that says, hey, listen, we preach that you can lose your salvation, you got to do good works to make it into the kingdom of God. What I say is, we really can't work together. We can't work together because that's not what I believe, that's not what I preach. Flexible would say, we can work with them. We can... They're preaching a message that saves. Let me just try to put that in concrete terms. I went to a group of, and again, whatever term you want to use here, I don't care if you use flexible or focused or whatever, it doesn't matter. But I went to a meeting of Flexible Free Grace, and they were discussing, suppose a person is born and they're in the Catholic Church and all they've ever believed is Catholic doctrine. They believe nothing else. In other words, I'm born into it. I believe that in order to go to heaven, I've got to be baptized into the church. I've got to go to confession. I've got to spend some time in purgatory. And then after I do my time, and if people pray for me, hopefully I'll get out of purgatory and make it into the kingdom. Is that person saved? That's all they've ever believed. GES would say no, but in this group that I was with, there were probably about 50 people in there, and about 40 of them said, yeah, they would be saved. Okay, these are ex-GES people. That's when the split occurred. And so what I'm trying to say is that flexible free grace people say we can be flexible, we can work with these people. We're all doing the same thing. Okay, These are not eternal life issues, what they say. These are sanctification issues. Okay, I probably need to... What do they hold in common? Flexible and free grace. I've already told you, eternal life cannot be lost. The people who are flexible, free grace, they're believers. They have assurance of everlasting life. They know they're going to be in the kingdom. But what they say is, we don't need to make that a big deal. We can work with people who don't have assurance of salvation, and we don't have to worry about it. They agree that there's going to be rewards in the kingdom. They believe that believers can be carnal and sin and fall away, deny the faith. They believe that many believers will not persevere until the end. You don't have to make Jesus Lord of your life in order to be saved.